Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Aux. And this is the first ever episode that I am recording from the bathroom. That's right, your boy's in a bathroom. And the reason is I was recording this episode about 10 minutes ago. And about 3 minutes into the episode, the construction drills just started blaring, started going off. There's been construction going on in my building the last 6 months. They're resurfacing the facade, which means they're basically jackhammering into the fucking building, which, you know, 70% of people are working from home right now. So it's basically like someone's just jackhammering your office from 9 to 5. And today, there were no drills until 11:30, which is around when I started recording the episode. And I was like, oh, they're taking the morning off. Maybe they're taking the day off. Fucking sick. 3 minutes in, all I hear is and I saw the guy, I looked into his eyes, and in that moment, I experienced how people can become cold-blooded killers. Because if I could reach through the window and just give him a little nudge, like in the Dark Knight when the Joker's like, sometimes all people need is a little push, I would have pushed that dude into the fucking Tesla park downstairs. That guy would have been like, what the fuck? Like, why is this man in an orange vest splayed across my automatically driving vehicle? This is just such a disturbance to my day. And I'd be looking up at him from the 9th floor being like, sorry, dude, I had to do it. I did it for me and I did it for the building. He had to go. But of course, I didn't do that. Instead of murdering someone, I went to the bathroom because it is significantly less loud here. And I apologize for any weird echoes. It actually sounds really good in here. Maybe this is my new studio. I might just make the bathroom the studio. And instead of bringing in a chair, I can just sit on the toilet. And so if I have to pee or shit during the podcast, I can just do it without getting up. Like, no more pee breaks, no more editing out the silences and the bathroom breaks. I'm just going to, as I'm talking, you're just going to hear me go like, wait one sec. What was I saying? Oh, and then I'm just going to drop. You'll hear some poop, 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 poop. Or if it's a big log, you'll hear like, sounded like a torpedo. I swear to God, I've taken some shits that if I took them in the ocean, it would hit the water and just start fucking going like a torpedo towards the closest vessel. That's how loggy some shits have been. But I digress, you know. You do what you gotta do. Podcasting is, you know, it's the life I chose. It chose me, but I also chose it back. And so let's get into today. So Kanye West has been making headlines. Wow, the absence of echo in here is actually insane. I don't know why I'm speaking and I'm like, this is better than my actual studio. So maybe I'll take some acoustic notes. But so Kanye West is in the headlines. He has been in the headlines the past couple weeks, which is nothing new. But this time it is for supposedly anti-Semitic remarks. And I say supposedly because I don't actually have the exact remarks in front of me. So I basically saw headlines that said that Kanye West was saying some untasteful things about Jews, some hurtful things about Jewish people, Jewish media. And he went on a podcast called Drink Champs that then got taken down. He went on Piers Morgan, and apparently they had a whole conversation there. I saw a clip where Kanye told Piers Morgan to stop interrupting him, and then Piers Morgan wouldn't stop. You know, if you've ever seen a Piers Morgan interview, 4 words go by, and then Piers is like, come on, get to the point. Like, and you're just like, you told me to introduce myself. And Piers Morgan's like, yeah, but fucking 5 words or less. Come on, what you're doing is not what I'm saying. Just any everything you're saying right now does not have to do with exactly what the question is being asked. So, like, let's get to it. Come on, come on. What, this has nothing to do with it, Kanye. Come on. You know, answer the question. It's got nothing to do with it. That's more like Australian, I think. It's just terrible as something. But anyway, Kanye got fed up with Piers Morgan. And the clip that I saw, he told Piers Morgan to stop interrupting him, boy. He was like, hey, boy. Calling Piers Morgan a boy was just fucking hilarious. Hey, boy, stop interrupting me. Hey. Hey, boy. Stop. Stop it, boy. Boy, I command you to stop. I am your son. Or you are my son, Piers. I'm your father now, Piers. You are my son. Stop speaking, and I will continue and give you some fatherly advice, my son. So Kanye, you know, he's been in the headlines a little bit for some Jewish stuff. And Lex Fridman, who is one of the most well-known podcasters on the planet, who made his break on Joe Rogan. Lex Fridman is a podcaster who happens to be Jewish. He's also an artificial intelligence researcher, host of the Lex Fridman Show. He's from the Soviet Union. His family's from the Soviet Union. I believe he grew up in the Soviet Union until he was about a teenager. I'm not exactly sure when he moved to the United States. But either way, he lived in the Soviet Union for a period of time, or in Russia. I'm not sure at which point it was that. And then he also had family that perished in the Holocaust. And he decided to have Kanye West on the Lex Fridman Show to talk about shit, to have a conversation, which is what Lex Fridman does so goddamn well. I look up to him big time as a podcaster. You know, when I feel unfocused or I feel the drive, something's just off about whatever it is, my hosting, my questions, my preparation. You know, even though Lex Fridman is not the podcast I listen to the most as an audience member, I still enjoy the shit out of it. But I revisit the Lex Fridman Show to bring me back on track to where I need to be as a host, because he's so clean with his openings. He's so well prepared. And at the same time, he goes with the flow. He doesn't have a script. He doesn't stick to his questions and topics 100%. You know, he comes out with 3 or 4 pages in front of him for every podcast, but he listens so well. And I'm in that vein where I want to be that type of host where I'm coming in with preparation, but I don't want to be locked in with a script. I want to listen. I want to go where the conversation is taking me, and also have some prepared topics and things that I want to discuss in my mind. So he centers me. I will say that. Like, he is a part of my centering as a podcast host. I will visit Lex Fridman. And in today's climate, having someone on the show like Kanye West, I respect the shit out of it, because we live in a society today where just talking to someone is equivocated to agreeing with everyone, agreeing with everything a person has to say. So if I have, you know, fucking George Bush on a podcast, people, without even listening to it, will just see the episode come out, you know, the Auxoro podcast, George Bush, which would be sick. I hope it's like, you know, Harold and Kumar. I'm just smoking weed with George Bush in his compound in Texas. We're just fucking shooting the shit about war crimes, like fucking conspiracy theories, 9/11. Unbelievable. Would do that in a heartbeat. But people would see that title and then go, oh, you agree with George Bush? You're for, you know, war crimes? You're platforming a war criminal and thereby agreeing with every action that George Bush has ever committed in his life, from born until presidency and everything he does now and all that. And it's like, no, I wanted to talk to the guy. He's a fascinating figure. He was a former president. He, you know, did things that almost no one on this planet will have the chance to do, good and bad. And that is the nature of the beast. The nature of conversations is not just having people that you agree with. That would get boring as shit very quickly, you know? the reason why I think, you know, the relationship I'm in right now with my partner is so fulfilling is because we agree on probably 70-75% of shit. And then there's a 25% chunk that we don't see eye to eye on it, or even complete 180 opposite on. And that keeps things interesting. You know, when you're on a 3-hour car ride and all you're doing is agreeing with each other, like, yeah, I have the same view as you. Oh my God, you did that hashtag? I just did that hashtag. Oh my God, like, I just tweeted that. Holy shit, like, this is the same article I'm reading. I get everything from the same source as you. And this relationship is going to end in 6 months because we have nothing to talk about. Like, that, I would blow my brains out if that was the case. So the disagreement is fascination. It's room for not necessarily argument, but it's discussion. It's playful pushback. It's, you know, getting into it. It's listening. It's being proven wrong. It's showing what is right. It's, you know, agreeing to disagree. That happens. And you can't have that without conversation. Having a conversation with someone is not just a green check of, yeah, everything you've ever done and everything you ever will do, I am for. It is having someone on the podcast, when I have a guest episode on the Auxoro podcast, I am having that person on because I want to talk to them. Whatever we talk about, I am not saying I agree with this person or disagree with this person. They seem like they would be a good, cool, fun person to talk to, because I do podcasting because it's fun as shit. You know, maybe we agree on some stuff, maybe we disagree on some stuff. You know, it's not going to be a great podcast if we disagree on everything or agree on everything. So there has to be some middle ground. And that's it. Like, I don't really overthink it. You know, if someone seems willing to talk and they've lived an interesting life, fucking let's go. Let's bang it out. You know, give me the mic and take this mic and we'll conversationally spar in the void, in the depths of our souls, of our souls speaking to each other. And that is why I can't speak for Lex Fridman, but I would suspect that that is why he had him on the podcast. Not because he's like, Kanye is someone I agree with on everything, but because Kanye is someone who's in the spotlight. Kanye is a creative. He's a fucking, whatever you think about Kanye, he gets people's attention. He's fascinating. He's a musical genius. You know, whether he's a genius in other things is yet to be seen. I guess fashion too. A lot of people say he's fashion genius, music genius. He appears to present himself as a political genius. I can't speak on that because I really, you know, I'm not into the latest Kanye's political thinkings, but this got my attention when Lex had him on. And they went back and forth about the Jewish media stuff, the anti-Semitism stuff. You know, I'm a half Jew. My dad's Jewish. I grew up in a predominantly Jewish town in Long Island. So this was interesting for me too, because anytime this comes up, I do have some sort of personal attachment to it. So I'm going to play a clip from the interview. This is Kanye Ye West on the Lex Fridman podcast, episode 332. This is around the 1 hour and 37 minute mark.
Not saying there aren't comedians that did, but just the ones I know, because I live in California, right?
But they have an appreciation for Trump because of the sense of humor.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you about parlor and engineering, because I'm interested about that.
Doom, 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 doom.
Hey, man, I'm actually trying to hold it together. You're pretty offensive towards a lot. And
I'm not looking to be offensive. I really want to bring people together and get these sales done.
I
know,
but the word, I 100%, I see your vision.
How do we do
but
that?
But somebody you care for. Well, not don't say Jewish media and Jewish controlled media.
JM.
Like, man, you sound like it sounds too much like 1930s Nazi Germany that was leading up to the atrocities.
Oh, he would say JM?
Yeah, he was branded JM, that's right. No, it's just the implied, like this memified prejudice towards a group in a way that's going to lead to hate. And I know you don't mean that. I know you have love in your heart.
You know what's a prejudice towards a group that led to hate? BLM. BLM took a black person, showed his death on camera.
So this happens a lot. Now I'm going to skip forward a little bit, but Lex will call Kanye out about his using the word Jewish media as a way to, you know, you're Kanye has problems with individuals in the music business, and he is treating those people in the music business like they represent all Jewish people. And Lex Fridman calls him out multiple times on the podcast for that. And Kanye, one of the things he does, and he also does this multiple times, is he'll just redirect. He'll be like, well, you think I'm saying something wrong? Like, look at this organization. Like, look at BLM. You know, look at this person. And he doesn't actually, at least not on this podcast fully, he doesn't actually confront what Lex is, I don't want to say accusing him of, but what Lex is shining a light on. He doesn't actually confront his anti-Semitic remarks fully. He acknowledges it. He definitely moved forward in the conversation, seeing how hateful and wrong those sorts of comments can be. But a lot of times he will just be like, you know, you think I'm wrong? Like, fucking look at all the shady shit at BLM, which I know there is. I've looked into it. I've had people on the podcast talk about, you know, millions of dollars just kind of vanishing from BLM and, you know, where'd it go? And oh, it's in a house for one of the founders. So I'm not saying that there's not shady shit that goes on, but I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and then I'll give my thoughts more fully on it.
Because just
takes whatever tragedy and pushes it towards whatever narrative that gets more clicks and views and so on. Sure, and then politicians do the same. They use the media, they influence the media to tell a story. And
this is a simple thing I'll put. I believe that the idea of anti-Semitism and the closeness of the Holocaust is used by certain individuals in media to not take accountability for the bad things that are happening. And what's happening is there's a new frontier, right? Meaning, like, it used to be okay for somebody to be a billionaire. We thought about a billionaire, right? A lot of times you think of actually kind of being out of shape and, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, like Onassis or something. Like, you thought about it a different way. Now you think about a billionaire, you think about Elon, think Kim, think Ye, you think it's a new kind of billionaire. You know, it's not just Soros is a billionaire. It's a new.
So, yeah, it's such a tangential podcast. I can't imagine what it's like trying to corral Kanye's thoughts into some semblance of a through line for the episode. So one of the top comments on the Lex Fridman podcast on this episode on YouTube was something along the lines of it's incredible that Lex was even able to divide this into chapters. That is the greatest feat of this episode. You know, that Lex was able to put sort of topic breakdowns for throughout the episode because it was so tangential. It was so back and forth. We were hopping from BLM to Mars to fucking, you know, Bezos, back to anti-Semitism, back to, you know, AI, politics, churches, got like, and I enjoyed the shit out of it, you know. And I commend Lex for not trying to control Kanye, which so many hosts do, but let him say what he wants to say and then let the listener decide for themselves. You know, because a lot of hosts view it as their responsibility to be the parents for listeners, which I don't agree with at all. You know, for you and whoever's listening to this episode and also the guest episodes, I want the guest and I hope that me myself expresses themselves fully. And I push back against the guests. When I see that it's right to push back, I push back against myself in the middle of solo episodes when it seems right to push back. And then we come to some sort of understanding, and then we talk about it some more, and then we keep going deeper and deeper. And I trust people listening to hear what's happening and come to their own conclusions, which may be different than mine and many times is. But Lex doesn't try to control Kanye. He's not using Kanye to come to a conclusion. Lex didn't, it doesn't seem like he has a conclusion in his mind that he needs the episode to take and then try to fasten the conversation towards that end goal. No, he has Kanye on, talks about some shit. Kanye was the one who brought up the Jewish media, and Lex pushes back on it, and he pushes back hard, you know? And that is something that I loved seeing from this episode, because I'm a big fan of Kanye West's music. He's obviously a high-level creative. And one of the things that creatives do is they consider ideas. They're creative people often consider ideas, and they're open to ideas for creative people are open to ideas often to a fault. And I know this because I consider myself to have a more creative brain, and I am often, openness can sometimes go against you, and it has at points for me. But the essence of creativity is that you're able to see things and accept things and alter things in ways that people with a less creative, more, you know, fundamental, strict mindset may not be able to do. And a huge part of that is being open to change, open to new ideas. And so I think, you know, I can't speak for Kanye, but I think part of what is happening is the people that are surrounding Kanye at the moment may have ideas that are along the lines of anti-Semitic. And as a creative brain, Kanye is being open to these ideas and considering them in the same way that he would consider a melody, like a lyric, just some, like he's in the studio kind of crafting and molding and melting. And someone says to him, you know, maybe we should think of the melody like this. Maybe we should hit, you know, this beat. Maybe we should have this lyric. Maybe we should throw this artist on it. You know, maybe we should put this vocalizer and kind of just change the whole way. We should be on a new wave. People aren't doing this, you know, just because people aren't doing it doesn't mean that it's not right. And he thinks like that in the studio. I think the same thing might be happening where someone says to Kanye, like whispers in his ear. I don't know who it is, but, you know, he's around a lot of, you know, high level people that also may not have great ideas. And they say, you know what? There's a lot of Jewish people in the music business. There's a lot of Jewish people in the media. What is that? And Kanye goes, you know, yeah, what is that? Just like he's in the studio, like someone says, maybe we should try this. And he's like, I don't know. Maybe we should try this. Maybe why are there so many Jewish CEOs? Why are there so many Jewish executives? And his brain starts to run with that. And you become attached to it. And that can destroy you, because being open, being 100% open is just as bad as being 100% closed off, because you don't protect any of your ideas. You don't have any values if you're open to everything. And at the same time, if you're closed off to everything, you're not willing to change your values at all. You're not willing to see where you're wrong and where you're right. You're not willing to spread your ideas and put yourself out there. So Kanye, in this case, it seems like is becoming prisoner to his own openness and creativity. Again, I have no fucking clue. I'm just ranting on something that I'm seeing, and I listened to the full 2.5 hour episode, and I commend the way that Lex pushed back, because Lex is also a creative. He's a podcaster. He plays music. You know, he would not be able to do the things that he does without creativity. But Lex has the experience. He has people in his family who perished from the Holocaust, and he approaches this, not admonishing Kanye, but just saying like, hey, I know, like, I hear you, but I have to push back. Like, I hear what you're saying, but this is different. This is not, you're not in the studio. You're not just considering ideas. You're a billionaire. You're one of the most famous people on the planet. When you seem open to ideas and when you say things in an interview that's seen by millions of people on Piers Morgan, you know, on the Drink Champs podcast, you are allowing people, you're giving people permission to also be open to those ideas. And when those ideas are that there's too many Jewish people in the media, we need to do something about that, that becomes a huge problem. That is where you need to set your foot in the sand and draw a fucking line and say, I am not open to this. Because judging an entire race of people based on the decisions of a few is not dissimilar to what happened in Nazi Germany. And then obviously that went way, way, way past just judging Jews. You fucking killed Jews. You gassed them. You gathered them on trains and sent them to their death. You know, you destroyed an entire people and the entire world went to war over it. But it started with these ideas of like, you know, years before the Holocaust, like people were like, yeah, what are these fucking Jews doing being so successful? What's going on with these people? Why are they, you know, why are they in business? Why are they agents? Why are they like, and these theories and these conspiracies and the fucking mythology, the Jew mythology starts to form. And that is fuel for another takeover, another Holocaust type event. And so Lex Fridman having the experience and having the knowledge of the Third Reich, the rise and fall of the Third Reich, goes to Kanye like, listen, you can't do it. Like, he doesn't tell him he can't do this, but like it's dangerous because this is the fuel that sparked what happened in Nazi Germany. Even if it seems innocent right now, like just the opening to ideas, like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with Jews. Maybe we have to stop the Jews. Like, that turns fucking horrific really quickly. And Lex let Kanye know that. And I highly encourage you to check out the full episode. Don't take my word for it. Never take my word for anything. You know, I hope you enjoy listening, but like I said, I can be wrong about a lot of things. And, you know, I don't think I'm wrong about this, but I enjoyed and I was inspired by the way that Lex pushed back against Kanye. And it seems like he opened a little crack in the door. It's impossible to change someone's thinking just on an episode of a podcast, but you could see Kanye kind of thinking like, maybe this isn't the way, because Lex told Kanye, don't get rid of your anger in the music industry. Because this started with Kanye being angry at how he was fucked over in the music industry. You know, these contracts that are just built to fuck over artists for eternity. It's unbelievable how fucked you can be when you sign a contract in the music industry. Not all contracts are terrible, but there are a lot that take advantage of young artists and it makes them seem like they're getting something, like they're getting a good deal. And in reality, they're sucking the fucking life out of you. And Kanye has had these deals in music, in the fashion industry, and he's angry and he's looking for a place to conduct that anger. And Lex goes, no, this is not a Jewish problem. This is an individual problem with the individuals who fucked you over in the music industry who happen to be Jewish. They are not fucking you over because their primary identity, their primary characteristic is that of a Jew. They are fucking you over because they are bad people, and that has nothing to do with the religion that they've been brought up in. The people who run the music industry, you know, I don't know what percentage are Jewish. Even if everyone in the music industry was Jewish, it's such a small slice of the world. It's such a small slice of the population. You have to, you know, go after these people on an individual level. You can't wage war on a group of people because, you know, five or six of them happen to all be of the same religious cloth. That's just not how it works. And you could see he's kind of like, you see, he doesn't full on admit like, yeah, I fucked up with the Judaism comments, like the Jewish, quote unquote, Jewish media. But like, you could see him kind of be like, yeah, like he even asks Lex for help at one point. Like, will you help me go after these individuals? So you could see the wheels starting to turn. You could see what's happening. And yeah, again, go check out the episode for yourself. Really cool. Again, Lex is the fucking man. I enjoy the shit out of his episodes. And this was one of the great ones. It was sick. So go check it out. So this week I did a workout that was tough, and it was mountain tough. And I say that because Mountain Tough is the name of the app that I use to work out 2 to 3 times a week. I do Muay Thai and Jiu Jitsu a few times a week, and then I do this Mountain Tough app, MTN Tough. And one of the workouts this week was 15 minutes of wall sits. So in the workout, it was a longer workout, about, you know, 50 minutes long, 5-0. But within that, there were 3 5-minute sets of wall sits, 15 total, holding a kettlebell. And if you don't know what a wall sit is, it's exactly what it sounds like. You put your back against the wall, you slide down until you're in a squatted position with your knees and legs at 90 degrees, and then you just fucking sit there as the clock runs down. And something really interesting happened, particularly in with these wall sits. The first wall sit set, and again, I'm also holding a 40-pound kettlebell. And when I started doing these wall sits, I could barely do 2.5 minutes. So this program that I'm doing in the Mountain Tough app is 4 weeks long, and I was on the 4th week. So I've been doing wall sits for a good amount already. And so the first set of wall sits, for whatever reason, you know, my legs started shaking around 2, 2.5 minutes. And then I gave in around 3 minutes. And I was like, fuck, like, you know, I thought I was definitely going to get 5 minutes, because the time before that I had gotten 5 minutes on all of them. And it was only the week before, I believe it was just 2 sets of wall sits, like 2 5-minute sets of wall sits. So this was the first time in a workout I was doing 3 5-minute sets of wall sits. So 15 minutes total. And 3 minutes in, my legs gave out. And then when you take a break, you can't just take a break in this workout. You do 2 burpees. So I did 2 burpees and I got back and I was able to hold it for the last, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes. Out of the 5. So I broke. I did not make it the full 5. And then typically what happens in a workout is that if you don't make it through the first set, you know, you lower the weight to do the second set, or, you know, you're not going to do as many reps. The first set is typically your strongest set, assuming that you're warmed up. It's not a warm-up set. So once you're warmed up, you know, if your first set is 10 back squats at 225 and you hit 8, you're probably not going to do, you know, 10 or 12 the second set. Like, that's typically your strongest set. And then as you go on, you get weaker and you lose energy, you get tired, the humanness of the body takes over, and then you rest and you do it again. And that's what happens. But the second set I did, I was like, fuck it, I'm locked in. I'm making it 5 minutes. I wasn't even thinking about the third set of wall sits. I was just thinking about like making it through the second set. And I ended up finishing 5 minutes, which doesn't make sense. I was holding the same weight kettlebell. My feet were aligned in the same way. And my body and my mind held. And I don't know exactly the reason. I have no fucking clue why I was able to hold it out for the second set of wall sits when I perished the first set, when I didn't make it through. But I have an idea. I have an idea, because in my head, when I was holding the wall sit, I was like, I was calling myself a pussy. I was like, you fucking pussy. Like, hold it. Don't be a fucking little bitch. Hold this wall sit. Hold it. Come on. You want to eat those cookies? Hold the fucking wall sit, bitch. And this is where a lot of people will come in and say that, you know, this is negative self-talk. And maybe it is, you know. But it got me to hold a set that I, you know, 99 times out of 100 would not have done. And the first set, I kind of just held it. And then when I got tired, I just went down. And then that was that. The second set, when I started to feel tired, I started to tell myself, you know, you're not tired. You're not tired. Don't be a fucking pussy. You're not tired. You're not. And I started to hit the second wave. And then next thing you know, the 5 minutes are up. And then the next one, I did the same thing. When I felt tired, I started talking shit to myself again. And the 5 minutes held, and I did fucking 15 minutes of wall sits with one break, which is the most, you know, I had ever done up to that point. And a lot of people will say, a lot of haters will say, that you shouldn't talk to yourself negatively. And I say that sometimes you should. For me, that is what worked for me. Other people may not. It may not have the same effect. But in this sort of like self-help performance-based kind of clusterfuck of Instagram, TikTok, like everything's so like be positive, be positive, be positive. Sometimes you just need to call what it is and say, I'm not going to be a little bitch and get it done. And I am someone who, for whatever reason, like I get fired up when someone else calls me that. I actually prefer that sort of talk. I don't really get a lot from positive reinforcement. I think because I'm so routinized and reinforcing within myself that it doesn't really do much for me. But when someone talks shit to me, that unlocks the next level. And so what I think happened is when I started to talk shit to myself, I was like, let's fucking go. You son of a cocksucking bitch. Like, you have no idea what you're gonna do to you if you don't get this shit done right now. My girlfriend bought me lemon meringue pie for my birthday, so I was also thinking about that too. I was like, look, if you want to eat this lemon meringue pie, you fat son of a fucking, you know, puss fart, you finish this wall sit, you get through the 5 minutes. If you even rest for a single millisecond, you're eating broccoli for dessert. You roach of a pathetic human slop being. And I didn't say that word for word. I'm recalling, you know, the sentiment. But that was kind of it. I held it out. I talk shit to myself. So I'm talking about this because, you know, maybe you're one of those people. You're one of those people that, you know, writing down positive things. And I still write down positive things. In the morning, I write down things I'm grateful for. I have affirmations. You know, I do all that bullshit. And it helps. It does help. I write things down in the morning. Like, I make money doing what I love. And also, I know money is a small slice of my fulfillment. That is an affirmation that I write down at the moment. You know, another one is I treat people with kindness and I pay attention. Another one is I do not depend on other creators, or I am not dependent on other creators. I create with autonomy. So that's kind of, you know, where I'm at right now. I another one I just added is I prepare fully to allow myself the freedom to create. So I forget exactly what I wrote down, but it was along the lines of I prepare fully so that I have freedom to create in the moment, to freedom to follow my instincts. That's what it was. I prepare fully so that I allow myself the freedom to follow my instincts. So I recognize that affirmations do good things. And I'm saying you can do both. You can affirm yourself and talk shit to yourself at different moments throughout the day, or depending on what you're doing. And for workout stuff or physical stuff, positive affirmations don't do shit for me. Like if someone's like, good job, like good squat, or, you know, you may want to change this. You may want to hold that up for another 2 minutes and it's going to make you feel good. I'm just like, dude, call me a bitch, smack me across the face and fucking, you know, bite my finger off and then slap me with it, stick it up my ass and tell me I'm a pathetic excuse for a human being. And then I will hold a wall sit. That is what I crave. That's the type of talk that I crave for physical activity. And it just works. It just works. So if you're one of those people for workouts where you're feeling unmotivated, try talking some shit to yourself, you know? It may unlock some stuff. It may unlock those last 2 minutes. It may unlock those 3 reps. It may give you energy in a part of the workout where it doesn't make sense, because shit talk is magical. Just like affirmations, just like saying that you're going to do something and then it happens because you have the action to back it up. The same is possible with shit talk. You can talk shit to yourself, and deep down, if you have the ability to back it up, the shit talk will unlock in action. So try it, you know, if it calls you, if it speaks to you. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is I'm going to talk about part of a conversation that I had with a guy and a friend, a mentor named Adam Nathan Flory. He runs a gym up in Plattsburgh, New York called Ludus Combat Club. He is also a former soldier in the U.S. Army, a contractor, worked for Blackwater. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Nisour Square massacre that he was a part of. It was one of the most controversial gunfights in U.S. military history. And we spoke about that a little bit on the podcast. And I'm going to sort of give a recap slash breakdown of the things running through me, my thoughts on that portion of the conversation, because it really did change the way that I think about stuff, especially about reading headlines and, you know, taking things for what they're worth. When you read a headline, which is many times nothing, means absolute shit. So I'm going to talk about that on Auxoro Premium on a mini episode that will be up, auxoro.supercast.com. You can head there, $5 a month for full solo episodes and also mini episodes, Ask Me Anything episodes, guest recaps, things like that. So you can head to auxoro.supercast.com. Auxoro Premium link will be in the description where you're listening to this podcast. And also, you know, if you don't go to Auxoro Premium, if you're fine with, you know, just what's released publicly on the Aux and on the Auxoro podcast, that is perfectly okay too. What I will ask is that, can you please leave a rating on Apple Podcasts and a review with the rating. Even a one-word review moves mountains in terms of show visibility. Takes 30 seconds. You know, I'm not telling you to leave a 5-star review. Leave whatever review that you feel this show deserves. Comment, one-word comment. And also on Spotify, you can leave a rating too. I don't believe you can review on Spotify, but you can rate us on Spotify. It really means a lot in terms of people finding out about the show. You know, when people search things like Kanye or Lex Friedman or fitness, when the show has more ratings, the episodes get pushed up higher in terms of search visibility. So you're literally helping us uncloak the show into a more public eye by just taking 30 seconds and leaving a review and a rating. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. whatever and however you choose to support, I also appreciate that from the depths of my soul. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next time.